And I literally, I just got off the plane less than an hour ago. So I just got back.
Unexpected, though, right?
Yeah. And I'm here with Jerry Downer. It's good to see you again, Jerry Downer. How are you?
Good to see you. I'm great.
Yeah, a lot going on with the trip. And I was going to have a guest, Mika, my ukulele teacher, in, and he's not here. So I think we'll just talk about the trip.
Sounds good.
But before we get into that, why don't we talk about what you have going on? And I don't know if you've sold out yet, but what, you have any deals still happening with your Paul
I've still Gauguin? Got space in that one that we're doing, and I'd love some more people to come because we've got such a good crowd of local people. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
And so that's August 3rd.
That's August 4th.
Oh, August 4th.
Although we're leaving, we just finally booked our air. We're leaving July 31st, so we're going to spend a few days in Singapore.
Great.
Going to say Hong Kong. Singapore.
Where are you going to stay?
The Fairmont, I think we're staying. I'm not sure. I think that's where Robin booked us.
Yeah, I stayed at Raffles last time I was there. It was a long, long time.
We didn't want to pay quite that much.
A long time ago. It was expensive still, but not, I'm sure, what it is like now. But, yeah. And then your trip starts August 4th, goes for 2 weeks.
August the 4th, it goes for 2 weeks. We're starting in Singapore, of course, and from there we're going to Malaysia, to Semarang, where that's outside of Semarang is one of the world's most beautiful temples. It's
really,
it's a UNESCO site, and
you haven't talked about
absolutely
that
fabulous place. And from there we're going on to Bali, and they've got some fantastic shore excursions planned for Bali. And from there to Komodo Island, the only place in the world with the dragons, and they warn you, they don't want you there unless you're agile. So
you can hop
I don't know what kind of protection they have from those things.
Or you have a spear.
A spear, because they're, 12 feet long, I think they are. And, from there, we're going on to some other beautiful places. We're going on to Thursday Island and Cairns, and finally ending up in, Darwin, and then finally ending up in Cairns. So it's going to
be a
beautiful
trip. Well,
that
Paul Gauguin ship is, and I have to say, I just came back from the Seabourn, which is beautiful, but it's probably twice as many people as the Paul Gauguin. The Paul Gauguin's 334 people, so it's a very small.
334 people, whereas your big Seabourn ships, they look a lot bigger because of all the spaciousness to them, but they're 450, so that's their largest ships, but they have now got rid of all the little ones, the little 212-passenger ships that were so special there. Mm-hmm. They've gone to Windstar, so. So if you want to go on them, you have to go Windstar. But, of course, you're not getting the six-star service anymore.
Yeah, but this is a great deal for 2 weeks on the Paul Gauguin, which includes all your tips and all your drinks and amazing great food. I have to say, their food on Paul Gauguin beat Seabourn, in my opinion.
Oh, that's great. That's
good
to know.
Paul Gauguin is top flight food.
Paul Gauguin's great. And when you think you've got, on this trip, we have got some sea days. So you can imagine all the eating and drinking you're going to be doing those sea days, especially when you've got no bar bill at the end of it. So.
And this is a special discounted price for this cruise.
Yeah, this is starting at $3,600 for 2 weeks, which is phenomenal on a six-star ship. So.
It is like 60% off.
65% off, yeah. It's fantastic.
So you'll get spoiled.
You'll get spoiled, yeah, that's for sure. And also, we do have a few seven-day ones.
I had the lady who owns the ukulele shop down the way was going to call you about the Paul Gauguin cruise in September. I told her about the one to Tahiti.
We've still got a few spaces on that one available September 27th.
She really wanted to go. She'd never been to Tahiti. She owns Meli Ukulele down here.
Oh, wow. I don't know whether she called me or not. She didn't identify herself as, but we've had some calls just recently on it.
Yeah.
Because that's a phenomenal deal, too. That's 65% off at $15.95 for a window or $22.95 for a balcony, which is phenomenal. There's still a little bit of air, but it's getting very, because, of course, the only way you can go is
Hawaiian
unless
you
want to go to Los Angeles. So it's getting pretty.
So you won't be able to go unless you can do the Hawaiian Air.
No, I had people last time wait to the last minute and then ended up going through L.A., which, of course, is very expensive. And it's also very tiring because you've, from Honolulu on Hawaiian, it's a 5.5-hour ride, whereas if you're going to go 5.5 hours to Los Angeles and then 7.5 back to Tahiti, that makes it pretty long.
Yeah, so you should call right away on that September 27th. There's a great deal for the 7 days.
Fantastic.
I did that one, and it's a memorable trip. So,
and those are actually both those deals, I think, are some of the most wonderful deals that are out there right now, because Alaska's got very expensive. You know, there's still availability in Alaska, but those ships are really selling out, so they've jacked the prices way up on them.
I know. and you know what? Because people wait to the last minute, but those have become very popular cruises. Going to Alaska at this time of year is like the
That's
thing,
right.
And you really do have to book those earlier. If
and people, well, people have been used to the last couple of years when the economy wasn't what it was, and they waited to the last minute, and then they got on real cheap, and that's not happening this year. The prices have been going up this year, not down. So.
Right. So call Jerry at 667-2712.
That's
I may
right.
be jet-lagged. I may be tired, but I still remember
your telephone. You've got that number in the brain.
It's programmed in there, my speed dial in my brain. 667-2712. And do it quickly because, really, this one is going to go. It's going to definitely go.
And I've got Robin back in the office again. So.
Oh, yay, Robin. Glad to hear she's still in the wheelchair.
She's still in the wheelchair. Well, I take the golf cart up over the golf course to our back door, and that's at level. So we take her out on the golf cart and then run her down to the office.
She's going to get off those crutches by the cruise, hopefully.
Hopefully she is because she's going. So.
Yes. Oh, so my trip. We're going to go down. My trip was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I have to say, we don't really know much. Our impressions of Russians, we went to only St. Petersburg, but our impressions of my impression, I can speak for myself, of St. Petersburg, was way off base from what it really is about. And so I had a lot of my impressions changed. I'd never been to any of the places we went on this particular trip. And I'll start with, I'll just go down the whole thing since the guest today, Mika didn't show up. But I just have to say, there's no such thing as flying the friendly skies of United unless you're going unless you're going business or first class. Now, absolutely no. I mean, that's my experience. If you're in economy, and the thing that gets me very upset is the fact that whoever designed these seats, and it's not just United, they did these 17-inch seats. I'm sure many airlines did this, right? It's not just United.
And I don't know, you know, I've been on some and they're not as uncomfortable as others, but some of them are just so uncomfortable.
I had, and it's a long flight from here to Stockholm. Going over, it was just straight, 36 hours to get there. And the whole way was just very difficult with the not having the first class or business. And the thing is, you know, definitely went the extra mile to try to book the first class and business with the upgrades and $1,000 paying extra and 40,000 miles, and they're just not available. So, I mean, something's wrong with the system when you're trying to give them money and they don't have enough availability and they can't. And people are so desperate to get these seats because it's so bad in economy now that you'll do anything. So, I mean, it's insane what happens when people beg, scream, yell, plead, you know, to get it.
I just had people went on this very long trip. And they used 2 million miles to get first class all
the way. But it's money on top of that. You can't just get it with just miles.
No, but this time they actually got it with 2 million miles plus just a few dollars.
Wow.
But, I mean, you can imagine blowing 2 million miles.
I can't even imagine getting 2 million miles.
And their attitude was, they never work out for us anyway, so just use them.
Well, they were lucky to get it.
But they were lucky to get it.
Because there's so few seats. So, both legs, I was next to someone one time that was about 300 pounds and literally was 6 inches into my 17-inch seat and then fell asleep and was almost in my shoulder. And that second time, the guy was like 6'5" or 6" and couldn't help it, but there was no way he could get his arms anything but. You can't put your arms inside on those seats.
No.
You could only put your arms in the armrest. And if you're 6'5".
Well, if you're normal size, you can't get your arms inside. They just...
And if you're 6'5", I felt bad. I mean, I just tried to get a little, but I had no armrest whatsoever because his arms were not only on the armrest, but over into my... So when you do that for, 8 hours with... I mean, literally, I was leaning over into the aisle to just sit. It's like, okay, but that's the United experience. It's like, no, this is not a friendly experience anymore. Unless you can fly. Now, they've made the first class and the business really ultra nice, you know.
Well, and some of those lie-down seats.
Oh, my God, they're
really
nice.
Those, though,
they're really
nice. I had somebody went on one of them the other day, and I don't remember which the airline was, but they were supposed to be together. I mean, they were looking in two different directions, so...
Well, you know what's weird, too, is I could swear they've cut back on their staff and the stewards and the flight personnel because to me they just seem completely stressed and overworked and usually in a bad mood, unless you're in first class or business, and they're very, very nice. Until anyway, but that's just saying. That's United. I'm sorry, United. Not a pleasant experience.
Problem is, you got to figure out what first class is worth, and what you're saying is it's now not only miles, but it's miles plus
and money,
money,
and still not getting it. and still. Yeah. But I mean, this last part, because we came from Copenhagen, 4 hours waiting in the airport, coming back, and then barely made it to the flight, did the Lufthansa over, and that was kind of nice, except it was late. So barely made it to the flight out of Frankfurt. I mean, literally running for like, and I don't do the running. I mean, I was running. I was in a sweat by the time I made it, and then no one to help you. Didn't get the upgrade, was totally drenched in sweat, and then jammed into a seat with someone again who was too big. But I have to say, the Copenhagen airport was pretty awesome, very clean, of course. And boy, you cannot get to where you're going without going through like 10 minutes of a shopping mall of mainly duty-free in the international. It's like every single kind of shop you can imagine.
So you like that. I didn't like Copenhagen Airport.
It's true. If you want to spend money, I the United Lounge, VIP Lounge, is pretty interesting, nice and clean. But you know, let me just go start. So Stockholm, got in Stockholm, loved Stockholm. Never been to Stockholm before. You've been there, right?
I've been there, yeah.
But what a beautiful city.
It is, yeah.
Clean and walkable and friendly people, beautiful people. The old town section is gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Old buildings, lovely little shops. It's all very, very friendly people. Everyone, you know, speaks. I didn't find anyone that couldn't understand English. I mean, there's pretty much all.
They must have to take English in school, I would think, because they don't look at you funny or not answer you. They speak to you, and they do in English too. So,
and went for the Grand Hotel. I am glad I did. It was absolutely beautiful. Didn't get into the room till like 3 o'clock, but literally got off the plane after a very long hard flight and just spent the day walking till about 3 o'clock. But I'm glad we did, because we only had a few days. But I just love Stockholm. Very, very wonderful town. And the Grand Hotel didn't have the view, but the room was just gorgeous.
That's great.
Very, very elegant room. Very, very nice bathrooms and all the nice services and very friendly people.
Well, it's good to know that, because, I mean, I've been to Stockholm, but I didn't stay there. So
it's a very nice hotel. I would really highly recommend it. And you get the, with the room, in this case, got this amazing smorgasbord breakfast. Now, their breakfast room is right on the water, because their hotel's set right on the water overlooking into Old Town there on the main street, which is right near all the main important buildings. You also get into the spa, which is very beautiful as well. But, I mean, for breakfast, my gosh, their idea, you know, they kind of do. I didn't know what to think. It's supposed to be a smorgasbord, but really it wasn't what you think of in your mind. When you think of a smorgasbord, you think of just cheese and meats. But, no, it was really literally all kinds of maybe 15 different kinds of fruit and maybe 10 different kinds of juices. I've never seen a collection of juices like they had at the smorgasbord. I mean, combinations that were unbelievable. I mean, you know, you had blueberry and you had, you know, the carrot juice, and you had, of course, a carrot orange juice. And then you had, I mean, you know, the fresh orange juice, of course, but then other juices I've never even heard of, you know, all kinds of desserts, all kinds of, I mean, 7 kinds of different cereals.
So it was more like a buffet. I mean, like
like a super duper,
like a breakfast
one of the
buffet,
best I've ever seen. All kinds of, you know, teas, coffees, but I mean, of course, there was a great collection of cheeses and meats, but I didn't eat that. But and all kinds of great breads, and of course, Danish is called Danish. I mean, this is the land of pastries, and
that's right.
So you know, you have to walk a lot to work that off. But went to the Vasa Museum the second day there, and you've been to that, haven't you?
I have not been to the Vasa Museum.
You have to go back just for the Vasa Museum. No, I mean, this is, first of all, the museum is unbelievable. I don't know how much they spent, but the museum itself is gorgeous. They spent 17 years restoring this ship that went down. It literally went out 300 years ago and sank right in the harbor just a few hundred feet out. Because a breeze came out, it was too top heavy. And because of the silt in Stockholm and the waters there and the cold, they were able to bring it up, and it was certainly worn out. But 17 years, they restored it to perfect. I mean, unbelievable perfect restoration.
Wow.
And so they were even able to do DNA. They were able to recreate what some of the people looked like. And you can see their head. You can see their face. They look like a human being. The hand-carved wood was the carvings were unbelievable. I mean, works of art. I mean, really amazing. So you literally can see it on five stories because it's huge, you know. It's a seven-story Bodhisattva. It's huge. So you can go on each level, and you can go in and you can see close-ups and you can see what it's painted like. And I have to say that museum was a world-class museum. And if you go to Stockholm, I'd recommend anyone going.
But this is in Stockholm?
Oh, yeah.
Stockholm. Okay.
Yeah, Vasa, V-A-S-A. Yeah. And then outside, it's really nice because they make a whole thing of it. So you can walk along and they have people selling their wares. And then there's other museums along the way in that whole section over there. There's a maritime museum. You can go on these ships. One was a lighthouse ship and a couple were the old first icebreakers. There's a stretch of land you can walk where they have stories of each of the ships. You know, some were built in the 1800s, and they give you the name and the history and how some are restored. And I mean, one thing I learned in Stockholm was they really, really are mariners. And
they honor
their ships. They honor their people. And their ships they treat like people. And was truly went on a few of the ships that were open as museums. And really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed that whole section. That was really a lovely walk. And you can walk around most of the islands because there's bridges. It's you know,
right.
I didn't really think of Stockholm as having so many islands, but there's island after island, but beautiful walkways. And, of course, there's more people riding bikes than cars there. I mean, everyone's riding bikes.
It's beautiful to be out on the water, even if it's cool.
It was about 85 degrees, so we hit a very...
It wasn't that warm when I was there, but
I'm
bad for museums. I tend to do things that are more... You know, like I was out in the water in a boat, and I just...
Well, you know, it's white night's time, so it didn't get dark at night till like 10:30 or 11. Maybe
we were there, and we were there like July, August, so it was...
So still long days.
Yeah, they're long days. Yeah.
But it wasn't that warm in July?
Well, not warm compared to Hawaii, but I mean, it was reasonably comfortable,
But what a beautiful, beautiful city. Went through the park. The park was one of the many parks, but the park next to the hotel was literally one building over. There's this long park, and... They were having all kinds of fairs and music, and oh my, the people were out partying and yada 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 all around the parks. And there was like this big grill festival, you know. So they're grilling everything.
So your weather there was good because
beautiful.
It wasn't that good in Russia, right?
It was terrible in Russia.
St. Petersburg,
terrible. I mean, but you know, you kind of think of Russia. I guess it sets the mood, right? But the next really nice, get on board Seabourn. Absolutely gorgeous suite, brown marble in the suite bathroom. Full tub. I mean, we're not talking a tub like you have in a regular hotel room. This is a deep tub. I mean, deep up to your shoulders tub with white marble.
I told you how nice Seabourn was because we go on it all the time.
Never did figure out how to work the shower, right? Because there's like seven positions, and it's like if one doesn't get you in the face, the other does. But
now, so how about the spa? Did you use the spa?
Oh,
the spa
was beautiful. I paid the $99 to get use of the spa.
It's a bargain.
But it is, because there's one of the best steam rooms with all kinds of different rose herb sprays, and then the other cinnamon hot sauna, and then the room we could relax, and hardly anyone there.
Well, we come in whenever we go on it. We always come in. We get in before the ship's going to set sail. We go and spend some time in there. And then we go out in that hot tub.
Did you go outside?
Upstairs.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful. But it was too cold for the hot tub.
Oh, for you. Okay.
But it was cold.
Well, it'd be too cold for me.
It was cold. No one was outside in the ship. Very bad yoga teacher, I have to say. This guy is like, they let their exercise guy teach yoga. Always a bad mistake when you let your aerobic teacher your fitness teacher teach yoga. It's like,
I wouldn't know good yoga from bad yoga.
But no, wonderful spa. So got to, first night was over to Estonia and to Tallinn. And what a beautiful city.
It is beautiful.
I'd recommend anyone going there. My gosh, it's a medieval city.
And you walked?
They did give you a bus ride right into town, which was really nice because it isn't. I mean, Rick Steve says it's a 10-minute walk. It's not. It's like a 20-minute walk
We walked. I just thought it was so beautiful. Maybe we lost track of time. Maybe that's
it's a long walk into town. And then you have to walk up the hill. But the buildings are gorgeous. Every building is gorgeous, and there's the old and there's the new, and what a picturesque city. Friendly people, of course. I mean, you know, you get their basic, everyone's selling amber. Pretty much the same kind of amber and all sorts of different prices range, but it's the same stuff. But everyone's selling little amber things and stuff. But it was lovely, and we walked all day long.
Tallinn is beautiful.
I mean, literally probably walked from, about 6 or 7 hours in the day.
Right.
Yeah. But I'd recommend anyone seeing it. And you know what? It was reasonable for a lot of the stuff. It was probably the best price.
It's a lot more reasonable than, say, Stockholm or Copenhagen, because those are beautiful, but they're expensive cities.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, that was a lovely experience. And then on to St. Petersburg. And St. Petersburg was about 40 degrees, cold and rainy. And I have to say my impression of St. Petersburg was off. I mean, I don't think a lot of people understand Russia. Like, still don't, but I was there long enough in 3 days to change my impression, my preconceived impression of what Russia was about.
Yeah, because you were really looking forward to St. Petersburg.
More beautiful than I saw in the pictures, more beautiful. I watched two or three videos on it, you know, and much nicer than what I had read and seen in pictures. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous buildings. And it's so colorful. We don't think of Russia with colorful buildings, but St. Petersburg is really like a whole...
So you went to the Painted Church and all those places?
Oh, went to... we did the cathedral tour, did St. Isaac's Church, which is very beautiful, and then the Church of the Spilled Blood.
Right, that's beautiful.
Which is amazing. And I'll tell you, the artwork inside to me was as good as the Sistine Chapel, and I'm not kidding. I mean, the artist that did it, this is an interesting story. This is a church that was done because Tsar Alexander, who was one of the more liberal czars and freed the serfs and everything, and was very loved by the people, was killed by a bomb. But he'd gone to a fortune teller, and there was this famous fortune teller, and he went to Paris and went to this fortune teller and said, "You'll survive." And I guess there were two or three attempts on his life. But you'll die when you're wearing red boots. So he didn't wear red boots. He didn't worry about it. Well, the bomb they threw under his carriage didn't kill him. He got out, and then they threw another bomb, and it blew his legs up. And so he bled, so his legs were red.
Okay.
But this is literally, they built it on the canal right there on the street over the place where he got killed.
Right.
And, my God, it's an amazing cathedral. The work of arts inside are just, I mean, I took probably about 150 pictures just inside the church.
Oh, they let you, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, you just couldn't. In fact, the only place you couldn't was in the treasures room. You couldn't take pictures.
Right.
And were you seeing all the jewels and which is, of course, in the Hermitage. The Hermitage was an amazing experience. I mean, it is so, so, so huge. I mean, we really have nothing to compare it to. It's so, so big. And it's a beautiful green and white building, absolutely gorgeous building on the outside, and you go in, and I mean, there's so many treats there everywhere you go in every room. I could have spent a half hour in every room, and literally we only had sometimes like a five minutes in each room. But when you see the Rembrandts, and you see the Rubens, and you see the Titians, and you see all of the masters, and you move on, and then you'll end up seeing the Impressionists and the Cezanne, and you see the Picassos, and you see the Van Goghs, and you see and you literally have like 5 minutes to, because like there's just, it's so big.
You get a glimpse, yeah.
Yeah, you just, I mean, you're going through, and I mean, I took pictures on the run. I took a ton of pictures in the Hermitage, and that was, went back two times, and but they don't give you on the tours. I think it's got to be something about the, not liking capitalism, but they don't give you time to shop in the gift shops. And I was trying to buy some stuff, and they couldn't find the boxes, and the rest of the tour moved on, and I got lost from them. And the Hermitage is not a place you want to get lost in. And the most fearful experience was the coat room, because you have to check your coats.
Right.
And there were umbrellas, too. And I went back, and it was so completely jammed on the steps. There were literally probably on the steps to the coat room, probably 200 people in a complete logger jam and no one getting anywhere. And I was separated from my tour, which is not a good thing in Russia. And so I mean, I don't know where they are. I mean, I can't get to the cloakroom, and I'm in a panic, and I finally got to the front of the cloakroom, and I was in the wrong cloakroom line. I had to go three more down, and then I'm already. And then after I get my thing, I can't get back up the stairs because there's hundreds and hundreds of people on these steps, and there's no up and down. There's no railing, so everyone's going up and down and pushing. It's like,
weren't you glad to get back to the ship that
day?
Oh,
my God, yeah. And then I got the glares. You know the glares when you're the last one on the
right.
Bus. It's like, I didn't know what it was.
You were waiting for.
But it is absolutely an amazing experience, truly. And it is, we don't think of St. Petersburg. It's as many, well, not as many, but almost you get the same feeling as you do in Venice. And the tour people love, absolutely adore their country. I don't think they were putting it on. I mean, are they all women? Did you have women on your tours from the shore excursions?
We had a private car and driver, and they're both guys. And,
okay.
You booked
a private one.
Yeah, and the guy was. When we booked it, I said I want a guy that's not afraid to show me things that maybe they don't normally show tourists.
Oh, that's smart.
And this guy was fabulous, a young guy, but he said he loved St. Petersburg. It was his favorite city in the world. He just wished he could move it to the United States. So.
That's smart. That's pretty nervy of him, actually.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Yeah, and were you with the Seabourn on this
one? We were on Seabourn, yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting, because I only saw the women, but they certainly were all very well educated. Most of them said they taught either English or art history in the winter months and then did the tours when the tours began. But if it was that crowded in the Hermitage in May, I can't imagine what it's like in the summer. It's got to be insane with people.
If they could get any more people in, I don't know, yeah.
I mean, you were on a seaborne ship
and you went downtown. Mm-hmm. You don't know how many of those monster ships were sitting out there in the main port.
There was a celebrity was out there. We saw there was a celebrity behind us at one point doing the thing. We did get there earlier than some, and then more people came later. But I don't think you could just do. Some people did 8 hours, which I think is too much. I have to say, 8 hours is a lot in a museum for some. Some people went back for the 8 hour trip, which I think that'd be 8 hours in a museum.
The only place I've ever done 8 hours was at Disneyland, and we had my kids and grandchildren go and get all these fast passes, and then we sent them off to eat while we used them all.
Yeah, that's.
But no, I don't think I could do 8 hours in a normal.
But then also enjoyed going to the, but the guy I have to say for the Peterhof, went to Peterhof. And that's an interesting. It's supposed to go to the fort, but somehow she missed the fort. Our tour guide was younger in this and got in a fight with the bus driver, and the bus driver kept us waiting in the rain for 20 minutes. Taught her a lesson, so we had to wait for the bus driver.
Right.
To but did go to the cathedral, the Peter Paul Cathedral, which was very impressive. And there is a lot of that's where the czars are buried. So you know you can see Nicholas and you can see. The St. Peter the Great is and I have to say, Peter, I learned a lot about, I'm reading a book on Peter the Great. He was a pretty interesting guy. Pretty amazing. He was like huge, very tall for his.
Oh, big guy, yeah.
He's like 6'5", 6'4". This is in the 1700s. We happened to be in Russia on the anniversary of Russia, the very exact day that Russia turned 300 years old.
Wow.
So there were, I mean, I really thought there'd be more big celebrations going on. I guess they'd done a couple things, but not as much as I would have thought for the anniversary of St. Petersburg.
So was once enough in St. Petersburg?
A good question. I don't know. I think if I could go back and have my own tour, personalized tour, and create my own thing, I would, you know. But you'd, of course, have to have someone who spoke Russian and have to have your own visa. I did feel like a lot of the tours were kind of rushed, like you had to kind of rush through and would have liked more time in some of the places, you know. But at the same time, when you're only there for a couple of days, you're really busy, you know. I mean, really exhaustingly busy. I have to say it was better than I expected having a tour because you do drive through the city.
Right.
And you do get a feeling driving. The longest drive we had was out to the Summer Palace.
Did you go to the Summer Palace? We did.
They call it the Versailles of Russia. Right, and actually, he tried to make it. He designed it. Peter designed it after. Actually, his daughter built it, but he designed it after.
Because you can actually, I mean, if you're like we are, we're not, we're a little different than you. We like to see something and then get on and see something else. So we had it, and then having the course private car and driver, we just said, okay, go. And so, of course, off we went. So.
Oh, did you go on that in a private? Because that's a long drive out there. That's an hour out
there. We had him for the day. So.
Oh, that's nice. So you didn't just do a 4 hour. You did the whole.
No, we had the whole day, yeah.
How much did that cost?
At that time, it was about $600, which has probably gone
that's
way up
bad.
From that. But because that was, that's probably 7 or 8 years ago, though.
Okay, because now it's $400 for 4 hours.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can't do it less than 4 hours.
You can't, no.
Because, and I thought it was first the ship that was doing that, but it's partly the way they book their drivers.
Right.
Because they've got you without the visa, and you can't do.
And they want you to do four or eight, because if you're, they're only going to give you four, they're going to give you four, and they're going to pick up somebody else to do the other four. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean.
It's interesting, though, because I've had one couple, and they've been back 3 years in a row. And they keep going back to St. Petersburg. Because they haven't seen enough of the what were we just talking about?
Hermitage.
The Hermitage. So they've been to the Hermitage three times, and you know, I sort of look at them funny, and they say, you wouldn't go back. And I said, I went to St. Petersburg once, and for me it was enough, but then I'm not into the same kind of stuff that you're into.
But I mean, wasn't it amazing as far as the museums, though?
Oh, yeah.
The museum?
Yeah.
The one that is the out there in the country, an hour out, of course, unfortunately, it was raining. But you see a little more of the countryside. And it isn't just the facade. At first, I'm being very cynical. I'm thinking, oh, it's just the first street or two that looks nice and they keep clean. Never saw any bums. Never saw any trash on the streets. Very, very, very clean city. And who knows what they do if you're a bum. I don't know, you know. But we didn't see, any. No one begging. No one, you know, I mean, mostly.
We're there. We had some soldiers marching. And I don't know what this poor guy did, but he couldn't have done it very much wrong because, I mean, we're all watching him. They had him down in the rain, pouring rain, doing push-ups.
Oh, my gosh, the soldier?
The soldier. So I don't know. He must have stepped out of line or something, but, wow, they came down on him hard. And
yeah, I don't think you want to mess with that. I mean, that's the way I felt about the women security guards. I almost got in a fight with the women security guard who pushed me at the Summer Palace. And I mean, because she wanted me to go outside, and the rest of the tour was inside. I knew where they were. I wasn't necessarily with them. And she was, there's a tall Russian security, a lot of tall Russian women, but this security guard was blonde, probably about 6'2". And she wanted me outside, didn't speak a lot of English. And she's, oh, and she takes my arm and shoves me. I said, no. I said, no, I'm staying. And I said, you sure don't want to mess with these women security guards. She just gave me, I thought she was going to shoot me. I was like, my God, she was, I mean, but they these women security guards take their jobs seriously.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
And I have to say though, when we were there, we were right in town on the seaborne ship, and there was one who we would call here a dirtbagger. I don't know what you call him there, but he was brushing his teeth in the river there.
Oh, really? That'd be scary.
You know, that was scary just
to
brush your teeth in it because it's a filthy river.
Oh my
right?
gosh! So they probably got rid of him since then. But you know, if just a word about the river. I mean, we think of Russia, but we don't necessarily here know about. But the Neva River, that is right where you're docked, of course, and is the main river through St. Petersburg, is huge. I mean, it's huge. And it's because of the rain, I mean, really seriously big current, you know. But there's all these lovely bridges, two of them same, crossing the Neva River, you know. So, it's not just the front streets. It's beautiful throughout, lots of lovely buildings throughout the entire city. Another couple on the cruise went out and they did what you did, that they just did it with the driver for 4 hours. And they said they want to see what it's like outside of the main streets, So they told their driver, their guide, who was one of the same women we had, who was very good, to take them on the metro to a shopping center.
Wow.
And they went down. And, of course, you know, I've seen how beautiful the Moscow metro is. It's supposed to be a world class, you know, beautiful paintings and very clean. They said the one in St. Petersburg was absolutely amazing.
Right.
I mean, with artwork and spotlessly clean. And they took it for a couple stops and wound up going to the St. Petersburg Mall. And they said it was all the outlet stores, like you could have in any major.
I didn't see that. Now, when we went there, my oldest daughter, who lives in Canada, she wanted some of these. They're dolls, but they're
Made
of wood, and they go inside.
Yeah.
I said, we've got to take them to my daughter. She's just got to have these things. And he said, if you don't want to buy them here, I'll take you somewhere. He took us. I mean, I don't know where we went, but we went on these little back streets.
But
there was nothing dirty, but we were on these little, you know, I mean, they were still clean. There was no litter or anything else. But we went on these little back streets, and then we went. There's a building, there's an opening in a building that this book for a car drive, and he drove in there, and inside there were a bunch of shops, and he said, this is where you need to buy them.
Well, now that's great, because the prices were high in the major.
This was way less,
Less. So I mean, I'm thinking if I did back, I would do something like more personalized tours or try to make a connection with someone who lived there and do it personalized, because it is a different experience. I mean, we weren't a lot of people. At least, thank God, it wasn't like 60 people. I mean, it may have been 25 or 30 in the group, and everyone was very nice and everything.
Right.
But you had to move quickly, and you didn't get the extra time to shop at all.
The problem is, if you see something that you're interested in, but the rest of the group isn't, so
you got to move. Yeah, and if you get separated, it's dangerous there. Let me tell you, just going to that cloakroom was scary.
I don't know how dangerous it is, but it felt that way to me.
Not knowing the language.
I know it's Russia, right? Yeah. But I always felt like they're watching me or something.
Oh, they are watching.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, they're definitely. Yeah. But having said all that, truthfully, Jerry, I thought it was going to be much more watched than it was. I thought there were going to be I saw very few Russian soldiers. I saw maybe two or three. I saw very few security guards. Nothing heavy even going in where they, you know, where they, it was not heavy security at all anywhere going in and out of buildings. Mm. And I really expected to see a lot more security guards going in. The one thing that was nice with being on the seaborne is we were further up, pretty close
to town.
We're just literally, I think, 10 minutes from the Hermitage.
Right.
But they set up their own immigration person right outside our ship.
Right, exactly.
So literally, the first time, everyone said, oh, it's going to take most of the morning going through immigration. It's going to take hours. It took 5 minutes.
Right.
I mean, you were there. They were nice. It was like they look at you. It's just literally like going through, going into Canada.
That's the advantage of doing it on a small ship and not a 3,000 passenger
ship. It was no heavy-handed stuff. There was none. I didn't see anyone with a gun going through immigration. There was no heavy stuff. Yeah. And the sweetest thing was every time we went into town, there was this amazing Russian violinist, and he'd play the American National Anthem. And it's cold.
Nice?
It's cold. I mean, we're all bundled up, and he's playing there in the rain. There's a little cover, but rain blowing aside. But he's playing his violin, greeting every time coming in and going out. Very, very sweet. Very sweet, you know. And a good violinist, like a concert style. And so that was nice. And the palace that was out in the summer palace was. Did you go in the gardens? I mean, beautiful fountains,
gorgeous.
And you can walk down to the Baltic Sea because it goes right down.
I didn't
there.
Go all the way down. No.
really beautiful gardens, lovely gardens in the spring. And then let's see. Oh yeah, well the statues there are beautiful, and a lot of lovely rooms and kind of interesting history with the. See, did you read about Peter the Great at all? Interesting history.
Probably a long time ago, so I wouldn't really be up on it. No,
we went.
Some of the things that we saw there were some of the things that probably you didn't see, like
what?
Our driver took us to this building that looked this absolutely beautiful church, and it had been gutted and turned into a swimming pool.
What? Really?
You know,
I know we didn't see that. We didn't.
We
see
want
that.
To see things that you didn't.
Right.
Now, what wouldn't you show the tourists? Well, we wouldn't show tourists this.
Yes.
You know?
Well, that's so he had freedom to do what he wanted to do.
He had freedom within reason. I think I'm sure he said there were places he wasn't allowed to take us, but he had a lot more freedom than. So we were seeing things that maybe weren't so beautiful. Although this was an absolutely beautiful church, but inside was a swimming pool. All the beautiful stuff had been taken out of it. So.
We went to Menshikov. The same day we Menshikov Palace, it wasn't like a palace. It was an original home in the it must have been 1780s, and it's on that main street, just not
so
far from the Hermitage.
So they've really restored those kind of properties.
Oh yeah, this was really original home. And the thing that's weird about this Menshikov, it was like he would be the person that backed Peter and gave him the money, and they were inseparable supposedly since childhood friends, which sounded a little interesting, but. And it got even more interesting hearing the story of Menshikov and Peter. Menshikov had a wife who had originally been a woman who hung out and did washing for the military. Menshikov loved her, married her, and then Peter, I don't know, maybe, no, it was the mistress, it was Menshikov's mistress. Peter saw her, liked her, and then he landed up marrying the mistress, right?
Okay.
And that became Peter's wife, which is... It's like, who knows?
Okay.
And they're all in the family, right? All friends and best friends and everything. So I don't know. You know, it's kind of. But that was an older building, and that you could kind of see, you know, they had this fascination for Holland and porcelain.
Right.
To them, porcelain was like the most important thing in the 1700s, 1800s, like the most amazing. That was their passion to create porcelain.
Right.
So didn't know that. You know, porcelain. Who would have thought porcelain was like. More expensive than gold or more precious than gold. If they broke a piece of porcelain, the court people would keep it and wear it like a neck pendant. It was that porcelain was that valuable. I'd like, really? Porcelain's that big, you know? So, you know.
I always thought it was some of the buildings they did keep, though. Like one of them we were taken to, it was a building where it was obviously somebody's home, but they'd restored this. For some reason, it had some significance. But there was there was actually a tunnel leading from that home into this little tiny home. This was where the guy kept his mistress.
His mistress, yes.
But his wife was living with him in the big home.
It did seem like a lot of the mistress thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely did seem like there was that's kind of the way it was. I kind of get the feeling that it's like, yeah. I mean, there's yeah. And then the power of the money was like, again, right. They could do what they wanted to do. And it's like, but yeah, Peter had a strange history. I'm reading the book. It's actually a very smart man he was. So I could see where his impression and how he shaped this town, because he wanted it to be like, he wanted to be like the West.
Right, right.
He traveled all around Europe and had this passion to make Russia like more like Europe. So that's why it's so beautiful.
I think probably St. Petersburg is a lot different than a lot of...
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I've never been to Moscow, so I have no idea.
But, now, if people wanted to, there were people on the cruise that did a 19-hour trip up to Moscow.
It. You could
but
do it.
It was
just
4 hours by
though.
Train, and you had to get up at 5 in the morning, and then you had like 9 hours in Moscow, and then it was the train ride back. To me, it just... I have to say, you have to be aware that when you're doing a trip like that, it's not like a pleasure cruise. It's not you are literally doing a lot. You're I mean, you're learning a lot, but it's not like you're sitting back and
you come home and you need a holiday. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, as far as learning and cultural experience, and I do think it's. I mean, you know, I believe this, that I really believe that travel is really good for world peace. I think it's good for understanding people. I think it's good for us understanding that people are the same all the way the world over. It's just the governments and the people who control the people who make it separate. You know, that if it were up to the people, I think we'd have a lot less problems in the world, because all the people everywhere, they were all similar. I mean, basically want the same thing. We want
I've been shocked by some of the times I've traveled in the Middle East. You know, I mean, I had one cruise we went on in the Middle East. None of our normal people that would go along with us on cruises would even come, because they just referred to it as Jerry's
religious cruise?
No. What's the other word? Terrorist cruise.
Terrorist cruise. They weren't saying, oh,
and,
my God.
You know, and we went in there. And, I mean, if you got into some of those really religious areas in Dubai or something, I guess those people were sort of different. But in most of the places, the people are just like us. They joke around. They speak English. They're just regular people. And they don't really want to nuke us or do anything to us.
No.
They're just people.
Yeah, just people. I mean, I mean, a lot of this is set up by, the people in control. It's a different story, but would I recommend St. Petersburg? Absolutely, I would recommend. I think it'd be very valuable. It's a beautiful city, amazing museums and churches. I wish I had more time.
It's a very beautiful city. That's why I was saying.
It is.
You know, I don't know now if you see other parts of Russia like Moscow. Would you say the same
know.
Thing about Moscow?
Now, from what I've seen, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the Kremlin is like, but yeah, it was. I gained new appreciation for the beauty of that and the history, which is quite an interesting history with the czars and all of that, you know. And I have to say one thing is interesting, because, you know, as much as the Russian Revolution, all that was taking down the opulence of the czars and the people, but this is how they're making their money now. If they could have seen in a crystal ball that this opulence that they were fighting, of course, is what was going to bring Russia their money, because this is what people are spending money to see.
They seem to have it. I know when we were in Dubai, we went to see that famous hotel they have there.
And yeah, the tallest one in the world.
Yeah, the one that's out of the water. The
that really expensive one.
Really expensive one.
I think you can do one. You can have tea there or lunch.
You have
or
to
something.
Have tea or lunch or dinner there, and dinner you got to make reservations 4 or 5 months ahead.
And it's
of time.
Very expensive for that.
I said to them in the hotel, they snuck us into chose a room because we were travel agents. And I said, well, who are all these people? I said, they're not speaking English. She said, we're absolutely full with Russian mafia.
I believe it.
You know, so somewhere in Russia, somebody's got money. Yeah.
Oh, you're not somewhere. There's lots of it. Yeah. I saw a Bentley or two, but the general population had nice, clean cars. You didn't see Maui cruisers.
No.
You know, but, you know,
we drive them because we want to drive them. I mean,
but one thing was interesting that happens worldwide over is the traffic. We were waiting. The bus driver was trying to get us back, of course, in time because the ship was leaving. And literally it took us to get 2 blocks, 20 minutes. And the tour guide operator, she says, how am I going to get home in this traffic? And he says the traffic is a universal thing, of course. So they have very bad traffic jams. But then we wound up going, it seemed too soon, on to Finland and Helsinki. Of course, I've never been to Helsinki either. Of all the cities we were in, it's probably the least glamorous, you know, and picturesque. You've been to Helsinki, right? But, I mean, they have a little area by where the ship comes in where they do a little flea market kind of thing, and there's some statues and a little walkway there, you know. But but pretty pretty basic. It was cold again, really cold.
Because that doesn't help either if it's bitterly cold.
Yeah, bitterly cold. But walked up and had a, you know, if again, not a tour, because I don't really like tours. But so just walked and went to that church that's the one made out of rocks on the top of the hill. Did you go to that one?
Nope.
Oh, it's up on the top of
the
hill.
Oh, yes, we did, yeah.
And it's all made out of rocks,
quite a while
right?
ago, but yeah.
But it's very interesting because inside, not only is it all these beautiful rocks, but there's no statues, but there's copper wire wrapped around in a circle. I mean, miles of copper wire.
Of it, yeah.
And I have to say, sitting there in that lovely rock and copper church, and then just polished copper on the side, it was very peaceful feeling, very positive feeling. And then you can walk outside it and walk to the top. On top of it, there's like a little rock garden, a walkway around on the top of it, but no spires or anything like that. Just very interesting. And I guess they have a bomb shelter that holds like thousands of people underneath it.
Oh, is that right?
Like 3,000 people or 4,000
people. I didn't know that.
But, you know, I didn't either. I was there, not till later. But and walked down to, there's two other churches. The Lutheran church is kind of on the hill. Did you go to the Lutheran? It's a big, beautiful white church with lots of steps up to the top there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did.
Pretty bare inside, but noticed there's going to be an organ concert at noon. We were there quarter to noon, so I thought, well, yeah, I'll go to this lovely, I mean, for a pretty bare Lutheran-style church, which are never known for their ornateness, there's this amazing pipe organ. So, I mean, I recorded. I wish I brought my phone in. But there's this amazing organ concert. I mean, you're just sitting there in a pretty basic church. It's like, wow. Really good organ playing, just filling, you know, the kind of big organ where literally your body just vibrates with the power of this organ playing. So I was like, wow, that was a very nice experience. And, of course, free, no charge or anything like that. So that was nice. Stepped outside.
You probably go to a lot more churches and museums than we do because when
you don't go to a lot of churches.
I have this rule. If I've seen one church, I've seen them all. Which
no, they're all different.
You know, which isn't true. But I just don't want to spend my whole time doing. Of course, I'm always getting in trouble because people say to me, "Did you go to this famous site?" And I said, "Well, no, I went on a Wave Runner instead."
I'm
gonna
get it. You keep talking.
Keep talking. Anyway, we did go to St. Petersburg, and it was about 8 years ago. And but I think Cindy and I look at different things, whereas we're often just relaxing and looking at the scenery and looking at the areas outside of town rather than all the cathedrals and all the churches.
I'm getting
in Scotland, we do one. We do one church and one castle, and they say, well, we've seen them all. So.
Okay, so I have, I recorded with my iPhone. I love my iPhone, but I didn't do any of the plans. I just, you have to do the internet package. And I have to say one thing you've got to realize is that when you do the internet packages, it's very slow on board a ship.
It is anywhere on a ship, but some places are worse than others. And some areas in Russia, I know when we were there before, it slowed way down for some reason.
Let me see if I can turn this up here. So, let me see if I can get this up here. No, I don't want mute. Well, this is the band outside.
Okay.
Outside the church, right? Here's the Finnish changing of the guard. Now, the Swedish changing the guard was not real impressive.
No.
But outside, this is this whole full-on Finnish band is playing. And they're good. I mean,
they do it just for you?
No. But they have two horses, and they have the whole thing. This is them from the steps on here. But it was a full-on band, and they were excellent. So I got to hear this whole concert.
For nothing.
That's a Finnish changing of the guard band. It was kind of cool. I mean, this is excellent. And this one, let's see if I... This is the organ playing in the Lutheran church.
It's pretty good sound for an iPhone, isn't it?
Just sitting there, yeah.
That's great.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it is.
It's truly, when you can have those experiences, to me, that's what makes a trip special. Went down and saw there's a church that's right off the square in town,
And that one is the Greek Orthodox one, but and that was kind of nice, but it was an old brick, you know. But Helsinki's not as old a town as it doesn't have the historical.
No.
History, it doesn't have the history.
I liked Helsinki, but I don't remember all the little things about it that I liked, but I remember we enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, did a lot of walking, but it didn't spend the whole day there. It was interesting. I kind of wished I had more time in Copenhagen, because literally...
You started in Copenhagen?
No,
you started in Stockholm.
Stockholm.
You finished and you just stayed the day.
Yeah. No. Oh. Landed in Stockholm, and I took some lovely pictures on the run of the sunrise from the boat. Landed in and went right to the airport. And so 4 hours at the airport added to a rather long day, because 4 hours at the airport, then rushing on Lufthansa over to Germany, and then from Germany...
And then John was saying you had a real panic in Germany.
Because it was literally 15 minutes, because by the plane being late, 15 minutes to get, and they take you, you have to go down the stairs off Lufthansa. There was no jetway. So you got to walk down these stairs with your luggage, you know, your carry-on, then get to the bus, and then the bus takes you to the far side, and then you got to literally probably ran a mile to get to the United plane, which was, you don't want to miss, because that's leaving from there to get back home, and who knows when the next plane goes, because it was going Frankfurt, not quite over the pole then, but going up and over Iceland and then back down to San Francisco, so a 12-hour plane flight, and of course no upgrades, you know. Of course no upgrades.
I'm really not quite sure why in Europe right now they're having such tight connections, because... You know, when you go on to book the air, whether you do it yourself or we do it for you or anything else, the airlines force these tight connections.
I don't understand it.
You know they're not going to make
it.
And if you, the other day we were trying to get, the guy was going to Paris, going to London, then Paris, and then on to wherever he was going. And it was too tight a connection. You could tell it was too tight a connection.
Yeah.
And we had a terrible fight with the airline, because the airline said, well, if you want to change that that ongoing flight, you can, but then your fare goes up $400.
Why? Now, maybe why they would want the extra money. They want you, to pay the extra money, maybe.
But the people we'd sent there before, they agreed to take this tight connection. They missed the flight. The next flights were full. They had to put themselves up overnight to catch up with their...
And the airline, airports, it's so expensive
because
in Paris.
They won't anymore. You know, if you miss a connection, they won't pay to put you up because they screwed up. So
I didn't know that.
You know, it's...
It's
just
stressful.
Too tight.
And
it's just
stressful.
Too tight. Yeah,
even
stressful.
Though we made it, I mean, literally within 5 minutes. But, I mean, then there was the panic going on with everyone trying to get the upgrade.
Yeah, it's just, especially when you're, well, either when you're going or coming home, it's just adds stress. And it takes something from that last day.
Well, it does. And then, but thank God we had the night in San Francisco, left this morning, got in literally a couple hours ago, and thank God got the upgrade to first class, which made it nicer. Coming back, so that was my adventure. I'm going to do a video, and I'll make you a DVD so we can post. So we can post this, and I'll put this up on my Podbean site.
When people come into the office, I can say these are the do's and don'ts when you go to Russia.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, you know, travel is always exciting. I mean, to me, it's a trip I'll always remember. I mean, because it was places I'd never been before, and cultures I really didn't know much about, and it was history that I've learned so much about, and still so much to learn, you know.
Right.
But Seabourn was a wonderful experience. Very beautiful, beautiful ship. Very first class. Extremely wonderful service. Beautiful accommodations and excellent food. And
it's amazing how, you know, I was talking to John before the show here, the number of people that go on a Seabourn ship and they stay on it. I mean,
there were people that have been doing like 5 weeks. There are people that have been on it before, were staying on. They're going to stay on the way to Norway, and they'd gone to
I got people that are doing 49 days now, and some more people doing another 40 days. And these aren't these aren't even retired people. They're people that are just taking a holiday.
They've got big money. Yeah. Well, I guess that's about all the time we have. We're running out of time, but
that was a quick show.
Yeah. So and don't forget to call Jerry, 667-2712, 667-2712. He'll take care of you for any of the cruises you want to do.
Any cruises or anything you want to do.
Yeah, and don't forget that you really should book right now for the one for the summer.
The summer one or that Pogo Gan, because we don't have any more Hawaiian specials.
Aloha.